This podcast is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. Spoiler warning for whatever is in the title of this episode.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to thehorrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible and all other major podcast apps.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Alien-a-thon, sponsored by Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, where we discuss Alien, colon, Resurrection.
Colon is right.
Colon is super right. Something that came out of Daniel's colon. I'm Ryan, and with me as always is Daniel. Say hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Quick update. I think we said this on the last episode, but if you didn't happen to listen to this one, we're doing some new content. We are doing YouTube Shorts, Facebook and Instagram Reels, and TikToks.
We're white girls, finally.
Follow us on all of that stuff. We're also posting the videos just straight to Twitter, but Twitter doesn't have a fancy name for them. So subscribe to us on all those socials. You can hear the socials in the intros and the outros, and I have links to the link tree and all the socials in the show notes. Definitely check those out. We have a lot of different TikTok videos, like some are comedy and some are like collectibles. Lots of different stuff. So check that out.
Who's putting up the TikTok? Is it Hef and Jackie?
Hef and his wife Jackie are managing the TikTok.
So big shout outs to them.
Yeah, big thanks. Hef obviously has done a lot, and we also appreciate Jackie helping out because Hef knows nothing about TikTok.
And neither do we. Yeah. Or I don't.
I mean, I know it's videos.
Yeah, I don't know how to edit videos or add music because I'm like a boomer with my phone.
Well, I've started doing it with YouTube Shorts, and I imagine it's similar, if not exactly the same. But she's also like doing like hashtags and algorithm stuff, and that's important.
That's actual work, so we appreciate it.
Yes, much appreciated. Also, speaking of people we appreciate,
oh my gosh,
Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and
Logan,
the Full Metal Patron, and Ben, the Fourth, the Patron of Hope. He's our new hope. Oh my god! I did that on accident. For hope.
I thought you did that on purpose.
No, my god! I totally did that on accident. The fourth patron.
He's never watched Star Wars. It's one of the things he says he can't get into.
I mean, so has he never watched it, or has he tried it and can't get into it?
I think he's tried to watch a couple of them once or twice, but he's never, like, finished one of the movies.
Okay.
Because we've talked about this. He also doesn't, like, watch anime.
I mean,
That's more...
Anime is more niche, in my opinion. Yeah. Where Star Wars has, to me, very broad appeal to different groups of people, but
I did just think that was all funny considering his Star Wars.
He has a Star
history.
Wars name.
Yeah.
No, I totally. I might have done that subconsciously. Oh. I have a story. All right, let's finish this, and I have a story. We're already off on a tangent. Tells you how much we love this movie. Thank you to Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, who is sponsoring the Alien-a-thon.
Thanks, Ron.
You can visit them at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall at Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and say hello to Ronald III, who would be like the 20th android in Alien movies, because his name starts with R.
Yeah.
And some of those androids make it over multiple movies, so they might have to make like 30 movies before they get to the Ron android.
I think they're just going to choose to ignore some of that.
Yeah. Okay, so real quick tangent. So, in my job, I have to deal with this oil spill.
Okay.
And it's in a place called Upton.
Okay.
It's Upton. And so I've been writing all these emails about it, and I keep putting in the subject line, I didn't realize this until somebody called me out on it. I've been calling it the Upton Sinclair oil spill. And somebody finally replied and said, "Ryan, what do you mean Sinclair? It's the oil spill in Upton." And I was like, "What? Oh, Upton Sinclair is an author. He wrote The Jungle." And so I Google Upton Sinclair, and I'm looking at his books, and he wrote a novel called Oil. And I was looking at it. I was like, I haven't read this book. So why was this in my mind? Because obviously I subconsciously put them together. So I click on it, and it is the novel that There Will Be Blood is based on.
Okay.
And I read that semi-recently when I added There Will Be Blood to my movie Excel sheet. I clicked on the wiki page and read, oh, this is based on an Upton Sinclair novel. So that was just like sitting in the back of my head.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, the brain is a weird thing.
It is a very weird mechanism.
It is.
Have you added Alien Resurrection to your spreadsheet?
Yes, I have. Yeah. Okay. I did it like while I was watching it because I was like, well, let me look at this other monitor. Trigger warning. Do you have like a particular trigger? This is like the first thing we've covered in a long time where a child was not murdered or raped.
Yeah, I mean, so that's good.
Yeah.
I guess if you just like have a general thing against like mild gore.
Yeah.
I maybe above mild, like
the scene in the nest with the worm tongue getting his head bit.
Then there's the weird sexual shit between not Ripley and her not child.
Ripley bot.
Yeah.
Ripley 4000.
But really, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, there's nothing, like, too outrageous in this movie. In terms of, like, inappropriosity.
Okay. So, cursing, but I have a specific story for this.
Okay.
I watched this movie with my dad, and the first time I ever cursed in front of him was when we were watching this movie together. Because for some reason, as a kid, I thought it was so funny that, Ron Perlman was like, waste of fucking ammo. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so they, and my dad was so taken aback.
I bet.
So.
Our history with Alien Resurrection, I've never seen this. Although, now that I've watched this, I've seen all of them except for the two Predator spinoffs. So I'm, my check marks are getting checked off.
You're getting, this is basically a horror blind spot for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Because prior to this, well, I had seen Prometheus and Covenant and Alien once, and one of the audio dramas on Audible, but still, like most of the movies I hadn't seen.
Even as a kid, this was my least favorite one.
Even more than Alien 3.
Yeah, well, because as a kid, I didn't like them bringing Ripley back, and I was sort of confused by all of that.
It's not Ripley.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I appreciated, I guess, just the dog alien more than I did the baby alien.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, these days I'm not as hard on the baby alien's design because I'm like, well, at least it tried something like really different.
Yeah. I think I like this movie more than Alien 3, but I don't particularly like either very much.
Yeah, so.
But there were like a couple scenes in this movie that I actually like really enjoyed.
Yeah. There are times I laughed during this movie, even now.
Yeah, there's a few, like, of Ron Perlman's lines that are genuinely funny.
The vampire's a pure myth, superstition. I may be able to bring you proof that the superstition of yesterday can become the scientific reality of today.
Background, Alien Resurrection was released in 1997. It was directed by Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Why are we watching all these movies directed by French people?
I don't know, but he has directed a bunch of French movies, and I don't know any of them.
Amelie, yeah.
I remember seeing the cover for this movie, Amelia or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know, these are bad, but they are French movies, so
they're Alien Resurrection looks out of place when you're looking at all of these other movies on his list.
Yeah, it does.
Because a bunch of them look very art housey.
Yeah. And that may just be my prejudices against French movies.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
we're kind of developing some.
What, and all we're doing is looking at the posters and the titles, and that's all we're using to base this opinion on. Maybe they're not, maybe they are, but it's delicatessen. That doesn't...
Okay, that looks like it might match.
That looks like a horror movie, kind of. Yeah, okay, so Delicatessen is a 1991 French post-apocalyptic sci-fi dark comedy film.
I kind of want to watch this and see how it compares.
Yeah. In the North America, it was presented by Terry Gilliam as that'd be cool, you know, the Time Bandits guy.
Yeah.
God,
I love Time Bandits.
Yeah. Maybe we'll check this one out.
In a different timeline, we're reviewing sci-fi movies and we're on Time Bandits.
Yeah. That'd be all right. The tagline for Warwick Davis, the guy who played Wicket and the Leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
I read his biography because it was free on Audible. And like the tagline for it was, "No, I was not in Time Bandits."
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, we found something else to maybe watch.
Okay, cool. So the budget was $70 million, and it took in $161.4 million.
So we're looking at like a $20 million profit.
Yeah, so it's, you know, like
using that like general guideline,
reasonably profitable. Like, and similarly to Alien 3, which made money but wasn't like a mega success like Alien and Aliens. I don't know about the rest of the Alien movies, but my guess is that they're probably going to be similar, where they made money, but none of them were...
But not enough for, like, studio heads to be very impressed, which is why we keep getting reboots.
Yeah.
Or spinoffs.
Mm-hmm. And this film was written by Joss Whedon. Yes, Joss Whedon of The Avengers and Buffy the Vampire fame. Going down. So he was... Apparently he had impressed 20th Century Fox. They chose to hire him, and originally there was a third act that took place on Earth with a final battle on the planet, and Joss Whedon wrote 5 different versions of that final act and then just ended up dropping the whole thing.
Okay.
And I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious.
Also, originally the idea, just like in Alien 3, the idea was to have Ripley not be the main character. It was going to be a clone of Newt instead of a clone of Ripley. And I'm wondering if that wouldn't have been the better choice, because in Alien 3, they originally were going to use Hicks as the main character instead of Ripley. And no shade against Sigourney Weaver. I love her to death. But, you know, this movie just kind of doesn't work, and I'm wondering if maybe with Newt it would have been better.
I'm curious about that, the timeline where that happened.
And this is the last sequel to Alien. There are 4 more Aliens movies, but they are 2 spin-offs with Predator and 2 prequels to Alien. So this is, in terms of films, this is the farthest out it goes timeline-wise. However, the story, I did read somewhere that the story is continued in some comics.
Oh, I'm sure there's so many Alien. I've been looking at the omnibuses so much.
Yeah.
Ever since we started this, it's like making me go, oh, I want to relive my childhood. I bet you the comics aren't nearly as good as I remember, though.
Probably not, but
doesn't mean they wouldn't be fun to read.
Yeah. I read somewhere... Okay. The storyline for Resurrection is continued in the comic series Alien vs. Predator vs. the Terminator.
Oh my god.
And the novels Aliens Original Sin and Alien Sea of Sorrows.
Hey Ryan, are we reading these? Maybe. Maybe down in the... If anyone joins our $50 tier, these are 2 books you can torture us with.
I'm definitely okay with reading an Alien novel, but I would want to put some research into it before we decided on which one.
Yeah.
Because I read the Out of the Shadows. Well, it's an audio drama, mm-hmm, on Audible, and it was good. I liked it. So I'm definitely up for more.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible 3-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be 1 more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. 4 acts.
structure and themes. So I felt like that they were going for like Aliens, but with some of like Alien 3 like edginess.
Yeah.
What did you kind of think about the tone and what they were going for?
Okay, this is only with like a bunch of hindsight on this rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
Is it felt like the writer of Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewrote the Alien 3 script. So like, or not didn't rewrite, but took the Alien 3 script and said, I want to write this.
Mm.
So you do have that edginess, but you have a bunch of Joss Whedonisms.
The sex theme is back, like, hard.
What was that scientist's name? Do you remember the one with the little ponytail?
Wormtongue.
Wormtongue, yeah.
Well, that's not his name. But he's the guy who plays Wormtongue.
I believe he's the voice of Chucky in the Child's Play movies. He had a lot of weird shit going on.
Yeah, he did.
I'm just gonna kiss this glass next to this dangerous alien species, and when it tries to attack me, I'll hurt it.
There was a lot of... So that's Brad Dourif. And
yeah, that's the voice of Chucky.
And he played Gediman, who has the worst ponytail ever. You may be more familiar with him as the voice of Chucky, or he was Grimir Wormtongue in The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did some really weird shit.
It's another one of those performances where I think he just wandered onto set and they let him stay.
I'm gonna make out with this glass.
I want the giant phallic shaped alien. I love it.
It was weird when he was like stuck in the goo, watching the queen and like commentating. It's like, Ripley's gift to you is a human reproductive system. You are now perfect. Perfect!
There's so much weird shit in this movie.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
And then, God, I know we'll come back to this, but at the end where, like, because they make, like, a clear sort of thing, like, this thing views you as its mother. Mm-hmm. And then Ripley and it are all but making out in the final.
Yeah, they were, like, definitely, like, sexually caressing each other.
It's just like one of my Japanese animes.
Yeah, it's just like one of your Japanese animes.
Yeah.
Just let me stroke your phallic-like head that isn't even really all that phallic-like, and it kind of folds back down into this, like, scrotum thing on your back.
Is that a giant red penis on your stomach, or are you just happy to see me?
It's a giant red penis on my stomach.
Yeah.
What did What's-His-Face say? What's got two thumbs, one eye, a pink tongue, and is great at screwing?
What?
Hey.
What about... So comparing it to some of the previous movies, what about the theme of isolation? Is that carried into this movie? Yes, no, maybe?
The cinematography really doesn't focus on that, like, at all. And you... When you have, like, because Aliens had, like, this sort of ragtag, smart-talking group, but this carries that, like, it turns it up to 11. Mm-hmm. And when you have that minus the isolation shots, you don't feel that at all, even if it was intended.
Yeah. There's also just, like, bigger groups of people.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. Lots of dialogue, lots of talking, and it's kind of a loud movie.
And it's not like they stumbled upon an abandoned spaceship. It was a fully staffed spaceship that got, like, slaughtered.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make you feel isolated. It's like you're watching it become an isolated ship.
Yeah.
But you never get that feeling.
No. And most of the time, like, in Alien, there's, like, lots of shots of them, like, of Ripley, like, going through the halls very quietly. But they're talking, like, the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah.
It's Joss Whedon. There needs to be a quip here. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a joke here.
The more of his stuff I see, the more I think the Avengers might have been a fluke.
I actually agree.
Yeah.
I think it worked for the Avengers for very specific reasons.
It's just weird, because, like, the Avengers is, like, I think maybe, like, top three best superhero movies of all time. Like, one of my favorite movies, yeah. Like, period.
My theory is, and I have no proof for this, is that... Is it Kevin Feige? Is that how you
put it? Feige.
Feige, okay. I believe he was able to reel back some of that to where it was just like that perfect amount. But that's just my theory. Is like he was able... Joss Whedon's always struck me as one of those writers when he has someone to like reel him in, you get better stuff.
So let me just look... Let's look at writing first. It's hard to criticize Justice League because it's hard to say what was Whedon and what was other people exactly. So,
if you watch Zack Snyder's Justice League, it becomes way more clear.
Yeah, but even so, like Age of Ultron, I wasn't as big on, but it has grown on me over the years.
I don't like it much at all.
I didn't, but like I've seen it like 3 or 4 times now.
Now this is another one of not a fluke, but where it just works, right? Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. Cabin in the Woods is good.
But I think when you set out with like sort of that comedic intent.
He also wrote Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. Actually, maybe I like more of his stuff than I don't.
Yeah. Firefly is really good.
I have not. I watched the premiere of Firefly as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't like it. And I haven't watched it since.
I really like Firefly.
Also, Atlantis is good.
Tiny.
You wrote the screenplay for Toy Story?
What?
Okay.
Okay, well, maybe we're wrong.
Okay. We're wrong.
I don't like Age of Ultron and the Buffy movies.
Have you rewatched Age of Ultron in recent years?
Like 2-3 years ago. Okay. Like, leading up to, not Infinity War, the other one. Endgame.
Okay. So it's weird because originally Ultron didn't bother me, but I wasn't like crazy about the movie. But now, like when I've watched it recently, I really don't like Ultron, but the movie itself I actually feel decent about.
I think it's because every time I watch it, I really focus on Ultron.
I've just really become not a fan of James Spader.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find him very annoying.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Okay, so
Ripleybot.
So let me run down this is how ill-prepared I am for tonight. This is the list of characters I wrote. Ripleybot, Winona Ryder, Wormtongue, Tully, Bad Soldier Guy, OK Soldier Guy, Ron Perlman, Chestburster Guy.
Okay. I'm going to have to ask you who was who when we go through this.
Well, I've got IMDb.
Yeah,
so we'll start with Ripley. And I know you've been jumping at the bit to talk about Ripley.
I just think there were a lot of weird choices with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some scenes where I'm sitting there going, I know they're going for something, but I feel like it's lingering too much, or it's very weird. And the big one is when she's underwater, sees the other person dragged away, and she just watches the water, and she's like, swaying back and forth. And it lingers on her for like 10 fucking seconds. And there's this weird look on her face, and I'm like, what are you trying? I'm trying to figure out what the movie's trying to convey to me.
I believe what they were trying to do is that she's a synthetic person.
Yeah.
And she has weird mannerisms because she doesn't know. She's essentially like a child.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how to interact with people, she doesn't know how to respond to situations. So she's just kind of sitting there processing things that happen. It's very like, it's like Mr. Data from Star Trek The Next Generation, but done very poorly.
Okay, see, that makes sense. But I've every time I watch this movie, that scene always bugs me because I'm like, this looks so weird.
It does.
Like, it's, I think she has a goofy look on her face.
No, and that's what stood out to me was like her, how she emoted on her face. There are several like scenes where she like turns her head like a dog because she's like trying to figure out what's going on.
And I don't think Sigourney Weaver is a bad actress, but I think maybe synthetic person is not in her range or not in her talent zone.
I just think it was some bad choices. Maybe
that was directing. Maybe
she could do it with a better director or a better script, but it's just not.
It didn't work for me, personally.
Yeah, I think if they were going to go the Ripley route, they should have just... Oh, she has Ripley's memories, and she's Ripley.
Yeah.
Or go with Newt. That would have been interesting. I was not a fan of Call, Winona Ryder's android character.
Mm-hmm.
And people who listen to our Bram Stoker's Dracula episode will know that I'm not a big fan of Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't so much performance for me this time. It was the writing. Like, I just, like, the character just grated on me.
I agree.
Yeah.
I can't even give you, like, too many specific examples. But, okay, I'll try. By the end of the movie, we know she's an android with a mission. Mm-hmm. She comes in to kill Ripley. Oh, they already took it out of her. Why wouldn't she still just go ahead and kill Ripley?
Well, she, like, has this, like, weird back and forth with Ripley where she's, like, yelling and screaming at Ripley, mm-hmm. and then she's, they're, like, bonding. And then she's yelling and screaming at Ripley, and then they're bonding.
It's very schizophrenic feeling.
I felt like they were trying to make her, like, the new Newt.
Uh-huh.
And it, because, you know, the whole thing ends with them, like, clutching at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work at all.
I agree. I don't have much else to say.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not so much performance. Like, Winona Ryder did fine, but it's just, it's the character and the writing and just kind of the decisions overall.
Mm-hmm. We sort of already talked about Wormtongue.
Yeah, he was just
weird.
Really weird.
I'm telling you, this is another example of a weirdo showing up on a movie set and they were too afraid to ask him to leave.
Speaking of weirdos, so I have him down here as Tully, because okay. That's the name of his character in the Addams Family, and I can never remember his actual name. Dan Hedaya, he played General Perez.
Okay.
And that was...
Was he the one giving the foot massage in the movie?
No, that was the leader of the...
The army base?
No.
Oh, the...
Ron Perlman's group.
Yeah.
That was him. He was the general who had, like, the crossed eyes.
Okay.
And he threw the grenade.
Okay.
And then got killed.
Yeah, and then just dies.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about the most lucky shot with a grenade ever that makes it in just as the thing is closing?
That wasn't luck.
Yeah.
That was skill, son.
That was CGI is what that was.
He played... Speaking of... we'll talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was just, like, strange. It felt like... So it was weird that the actor is not cross-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
They made him do that as a choice. And obviously, it's 1997. It was not for inclusivity reasons. If they were worried about being inclusive, they would have chosen an actor who had cross eyes.
Mm.
But they just wanted him to do that, and I think it was just to make him look more absurd. And it was just like, what? Why? What is going on? And he was just, like, needlessly weird. Like, when he's having the drink with the leader of the other people,
mm-hmm.
he gives the other guy like a vodka or whatever, and then he just picks up a lemon wedge and just starts sucking on it while the other guy's talking. He's just, I'm sucking on a lemon wedge.
There were a lot of weird little things like that in this movie.
Yeah, and it just, like, constantly took me out of it. I guess I prefer it to the constant and unending dreariness and depression that was Alien 3. But only by so much.
Yeah.
Okay, next character. The bad soldier. Or no, he wasn't a soldier. He was a scientist. The scientist that double-crosses them. Who shoots Winona Ryder and then, like, goes through the door. It's Dr. Wren.
He existed.
Yeah, okay.
yeah.
We don't need to talk about the soldier guy who lived till the very end.
Which one was that?
It's the one who survives till the very end and then gets killed on the ship by the...
Okay.
By the baby one. This guy, DiStefano.
Who is the wheelchair guy?
Oh, I didn't even put him on here. That's Grits or Grease or... Vreese.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Vreese played by Dominic Pinion. What do you think of Vreese?
Well, it's sad that he doesn't have any blood. Because he's full-blown Crip. I've been waiting to do that joke all night. I don't know. I thought it was funny that he, like, smuggled a shotgun onto his wheelchair.
They all smuggled
weapons.
I was like, the military is slacking. Like, they should not have... And it's not even, like, aside from the guy who had it in his jacket, they didn't even have them hidden. They had, like, the pieces, like... on them.
You gonna confiscate my wheelchair?
That reminded me very much of the Lord of the Rings. I was already thinking Two Towers because Wormtongue's in it, but where Wormtongue tells the Rohan guards to take all their weapons before they go into Sith Theoden, and they try to take Gandalf's staff, and he's like, will you deprive an old man his walking stick? And then he goes in, and then Wormtongue says, I told you to take the wizard's staff!
Who are you expecting? Santa Claus? You know, I don't know. It was kind of goofy.
Apparently this guy is also in a ton of French movies.
I liked when he was the backpack for the black dude.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about that scene on the ladder.
Oh my god, dude.
Did the guy with the dreads really need to cut himself off?
No, that... He's sitting there. He has enough strength to unbuckle himself. He has enough strength to, when he can't unbuckle himself, to pull out a knife and cut it off. Just
grab. Yeah. Reach down.
Reach down with your knife and like pull the alien off of you. Your shoe off.
And I didn't realize it until that was over. But then it like zooms out and it shows DiStefano. He's there with a gun and he didn't do anything about it. Ripley's there. She's standing up there. She didn't try to help them. Like, all these other people are there. Nobody does anything except for Ron Perlman.
And it takes so long. Like, yeah. You all had time to do something.
He didn't even really need help except for Ron. All he had to do was get that alien off his foot.
Like, wiggle your foot.
Yeah.
It's not like he was dead or mostly paralyzed.
It was wrapped around his foot, but it wasn't like, you know... It didn't seem like it was wrapped around.
It didn't have like a great grip.
Yeah, you could.
It was like two fingers. Like he didn't even try to wiggle his toes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I guess he did get a bunch of acid blood in the face, so maybe he wasn't thinking right. I guess.
But he was thinking rationally enough to go, "This is the only way to save my crippled old friend."
Another thing about like that crew of people is like. I kept going back and forth, like, do these people give a shit about each other or not?
Yeah.
Because it kept, like, they're, like...
Like, they hate each other.
I guess, you know, they act like they did, and then deep down, they really liked each other, but...
They had some sort of history.
Yeah.
Because they even talk, like, the black guy and him talk about how they used to do this, like, walk around with him on his back. I don't know. I just thought all of that was goofy and weird.
I thought... The guy with the dreads was amusing. Gary Dordan, his name was Christy. It's kind of weird.
Weird, yeah.
I thought he was amusing. He had some cool lines, and I like that, you know, he tried to, like, get them to get their shit together enough to not fight. Ron Perlman, what did you think? I think it's, like, Jeremiah or Johnner?
John. Hi, Johnner.
Okay, what did you think of Ron Perlman's character?
He was also okay.
Yeah, he was fine. He had some good one-liners.
My own recipe, way more dangerous.
Who do you have to fuck to get off the ship? I can get you off. I don't know about the ship, though.
Yeah. It was very Ron Perlman-y line. He was a very Ron Perlman character. Perfect. This movie had a lot of weird zoom-ins whenever he would do things.
So, the chestburster guy, the guy they found who was like... Who was in cryo?
Get away from me!
Yeah, that guy. I actually like loved his scene
at
the end where he just like I'm about to die. Fuck it, I'm going all out, and just beats the shit out of the bad guy, and then like holds his head in front of his chest, like he knew, like he could feel the pressure, like he knew that's where it was coming out. So I'm gonna hold this guy's head right here, so the chest burster goes right through the back of his skull.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet.
It's kind of hot.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's keep going.
Kill you all! I'll drive you crazy, and I'll kill you all! I'm every nightmare you ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Scary shit. Is this movie scary?
No.
No, not at all. The eyes on the like human-alien hybrid... kind of freaked me out.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this movie's not scary. It's not even really that gross, like compared to like some of the other stuff in the other movies. I just didn't really react to much of anything.
After we sat through a Newt autopsy, where are we gonna go?
Yeah, nothing scared me, nothing grossed me out, nothing really shocked me. Like the cold, dark black eyes of the alien were like really the only thing that I had any kind of reaction to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the design of the human-alien hybrid?
It's fine. It at least went for something new, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times when, like, they say don't reinvent the wheel, but they had, like, an idea in their head, like, if you really took the DNA and mixed it...
Mm-hmm. What would it look like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you like ran it through like a blender process.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was, the teeth was, it had human teeth too.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very strange. And like its face, you could definitely see like the outline of a human skull in its face.
I think that if they wanted to do it though, it should have been a bigger focus of the movie. Because it felt like we're introducing this new threat, but it's literally just introduced in like the final hours of the film.
Yeah, like it could have been introduced earlier, and it could have been like the main thing.
That was going on, yeah.
Yeah, because it definitely continues like the whole aliens thing, where the xenomorphs are not very difficult to kill.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that they did like the xenomorphs did like set up traps.
Yeah, it was cool, and they showed some intelligence, like they killed one of their cellmates to get out of the cell.
Yeah, so that its blood would melt the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And they also like took the time to hit the button with the stuff to torment a mm-hmm. human that was inspecting the cell. So yeah, like I liked some of the behaviors of the xenomorphs, and the underwater scene. Like, I don't like Ripley's whole thing. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I thought the underwater scene was pretty decent. At least it was like, it was something different. It was something new that I hadn't seen, and I appreciated that much.
Yeah.
And the CG in this movie is not great, but it's leaps and bounds better than Alien 3. Granted, there were like 5 more years of technological advances.
Yeah.
So, and I thought the CG underwater looked better. It's, you know, like if you have questionable CG, use it in like a dark space.
You do it, you obscure it.
Yeah, exactly. And the water helped with that and made it look a little more real.
Yeah.
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 Oh my God, are you Stephen King?
No, I'm Dean Koontz.
Oh.
King and Koontz, what is your king for Alien : Resurrection?
That you keep calling it colon.
I mean,
it's what it is.
Why'd they put a colon there if they didn't want me to read it?
I thought about saying the surprise foot massage, because I forgot that was in the movie.
Yeah, that was super hot.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to go with that. I'll be the pervert for the night.
I think the chest burster scene is my favorite part. And my coons is that Winona Ryder didn't stay dead.
That's a good one. I'm just going to pick something different to be different.
Okay.
And that's... The black guy's name was Christy, right?
Yeah, Christy.
Christy. The fact that he just didn't try to shake the...
Yeah, that was silly. And it was, like, so predictable that he was going to cut the
Yeah.
Thing. And it was like, okay.
Even as, like, a child, this movie came out when I was 10, probably on VHS when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, that bothered me, like, logically.
Yeah.
So.
I caught it, like, right away. I'm like, that's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Okay. Rankings. I didn't get to rank this one ahead of time, so... So I'm going to find where I put Alien 3.
That's a good place to start.
I guess I like it more than Toxic Avenger because it has aliens in it.
Yeah.
I guess I like it more than Near Dark. I guess I like it more than Godzilla vs. Bambi. It's not nearly as offensive to me as Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah.
Phantoms, The Ring, Watchers. It's in this range here somewhere. I think I like Beware the Blob more because I was like genuinely laughing. Sure, it's my new number 58.
Above Watchers.
And below Beware the Blob. Yeah, so not great.
Okay. Where's my Alien 3?
Number 63. Below Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and above Horns.
Just put it below Alien 3 and I'll call it a day.
Just one below?
Yeah.
What do you like more about Alien 3?
It at least tried to keep some of those like themes of isolation and dread from the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie just feels silly to me. There's a lot of logical inconsistencies that even bugged me as a child and still bug me today.
I think I agree with you, but I think I liked that it abandoned those themes because it felt like a relief after watching Alien 3.
I wouldn't want it to be that dreary, but...
Yeah, because Alien 3 was just, like, the dreariest.
I would compare it to, like, my opinion of, like, The Flash, where I'm watching it and I feel like the person who wrote this doesn't even like the material he's working with.
Hmm. Maybe.
Yeah. So that's how I felt watching the Flash. That's how I felt watching this.
Yeah, yeah. It's not great.
Homework.
This was almost my king. The fact that Walmart bought out Weyland-Yutani. So, it's the future. You're a trillionaire or quadrillionaire or whatever. And you're going to buy out Walmart / Weyland-Yutani or Weyland-Yutani Mart. What are you going to do with those two assets?
I buy them and I'm Disney and I turn all of like their logs of their like war crimes into animated misadventures. So like, you know how the Grimm's fairy tales are like super dark and macabre and but then the Disney versions of those movies are like, hey, fun song.
Yep.
Now I'm gonna do that, but to Weyland-Yutani Walmart.
The first thing I'm gonna do is reactivate Ellen Ripley's contract and make her a greeter.
Oh, that's great.
Well, I mean, who doesn't want to shop at Walmart if Sigourney Weaver's there to say hi?
Well, she turns her head like this now and goes, hi.
I don't care. I'd be like going in and out of the store.
I'd be going in and out of Sigourney Weaver.
You wish.
Yeah.
Okay, that was good enough.
Good enough.
Question for the listeners. How do you rank Alien Resurrection? Do you love it? Is it your favorite? Do you hate it? Do you like it more than Alien 3? Less than Alien 3?
Ron, comment with your opinion.
I think, I remember talking to him about it, and I think he's only a fan of the first two as well.
Oh, okay.
But I bet you he would still like... I bet you when he watches them, he probably still watches at least the first four.
Yeah.
That's my educated guess based on... This is the man whose Christmas tradition is to wrap presents to Blade 2 every year.
Okay.
Okay, for further reading, if you really enjoy Alien Resurrection, maybe you probably like Alien 3, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe you'll like more of Joss Whedon's movies, like Cabin in the Woods.
You should check out... the continuation in Alien versus Predator versus the Terminator.
Yeah.
And those two novels we said.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
You got options.
Upcoming on the Horror of Babylon, this Sunday is our next novel episode where we review The Exorcist by William Peter Blatty. And then the next Sunday on September 3rd, we are going to review the original film, possibly the most acclaimed horror movie of all time, The Exorcist from 1973. And then our next two Thursday bonus episodes, on Thursday, August 31st, we're going back to Treehouse of Horror of Babylon with Frankenstein to wrap up the two Frankenstein Simpsons parodies. And then the Alienathon continues on Thursday, September 7th with Alienathon Episode 5, Alien vs. Predator.
Yay.
Also known as AVP. Or Av.
Av.
Av. Thank you to Abigail, the first Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and
Logan,
the full matter
Av. I can't do it. Yeah, didn't work.
Does Grease, like he has that like chair?
Is yeah.
He, like, the full metal alien guy?
Yeah, there we go.
All right. And Ben the Fourth, the patron of hope. Subconscious the, Star Wars patron.
The MVP of AVP.
The MVP of AVP. And thank you to Forestman Comics and Gaming, who sponsors the Alienathon. You can visit them at the Morgantown Mall, Morgantown, West Virginia, the Mall at Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and say hello to Ronald III, probably the final android, because by the time they get to an R-letter android, I'm sure they'll be completely done with alien movies.
Yeah.
They'll be the worst. Like,
we're not going to get to Zeb.
So our homework for the Alien Covenant episode will be for you to come up with a premise for the next Alien movie that you feel will be by far worse than any of the previous Alien movies.
Oh, God. Okay.
So that's the Alien Covenant homework question.
Okay.
And I invite the listeners to do the same. will reach out to us with your answers. All right, thank you for rewatching Alien : Resurrection with me.
Thank you for mentioning my colon.
Is it clean? Are you doing all right? You're regular? Good?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. All right. You exercise a lot. That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I have a daily enema.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. They should really call it an outema.
Yeah. Because it's not going. I guess something goes
in. It does go in, but
then... And then it comes out.
Yeah. That's why I was looking. It should be an outema.
Enema, outema.
Have you... I know some people have out-of-body experiences, but when we get down, we have an enema body experience. Enema body. That's what I invite... When I invite you over for sodomy, I say... Get in my body.
Get in my body.
I don't know. We need to be done.
Yeah, we need to be done.
All right, stay tuned for our socials. Thank you for listening, and stay scary.
Stay scary.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the horrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps. Stay scary.